Praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome. This is 517 Redeemed. I am Markeith McDaniels here. We're about to be going over a little bit about the spirit of deception and how it ruins a whole lot, and more often than not, a whole lot more than we can afford in life. Going to be going over a few points here, and the end of this thing, stick with me. We're going to be doing a little bit of deliverance prayers for those that need it, and this video will be left up there for people to find and be able to use, and we pray and that it hope that it ministers to you, and God bless you as you listen. So we're going to be going over a few things, biblical things, and maybe a little bit of experience as far as ministering to others, and a little bit of personal experience with the spirit of deception. You see, the thing about the spirit of deception is that everybody, and I mean everybody, at one point in time in life has been deceived in one way or another. You see, the thing about the deception and being deceived is you don't know you're deceived. You think you're actually right. And you think that what you believe is correct. You believe that what you're doing is the right decision. Nobody wakes up one day and says, you know, I want to be deceived. You know, I want to just start making a whole lot of bad decisions in life and just doing something completely other than what seems right, right? And see, these are the pointers we're going to be going over here. We're going to be going all the way in the beginning, because that spirit has been around since the beginning, since we were created. Amen. Since creation, since God created the heavens and the earth, and since God created man and woman, that spirit, or should I say deception, has been around. And we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, how we think a way is right, and how to not stay in deception, you know, when we think a way is right, you know. And we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, the mindsets, the correct mindsets. And we're going to talk about how, you know, the spirit of deception comes in, because, you know, just because someone is deceived, it doesn't necessarily mean that they have a spirit of deception. So we're going to talk a little bit how the spirit of deception comes in. And going to talk a little bit about the different doctrines that leads to deception. Just going on here. Oh, there we go. We're back on with the video. So, yeah, like I was saying, we're going to be talking about how that spirit enters in. And bear with me a little bit. And we're going to be talking about a little bit of the different doctrines and and certain, I like to call, extra biblical beliefs, things that are not in the Bible, also leads to a spirit of deception, and a little bit of what the spirit of deception does and how it blocks and hinders us in our walk, not only with God, but how it blocks and hinders us from basically walking in power and receiving not only the blessings of God, but the promise of God being completely fulfilled in our lives. We do not fulfill the purposes and the plans that God has for us when we are bound and walking in the spirit of deception. Praise the Lord. Once again, this is Markeith McDaniels. I am here from 517 Redeemed. Welcome. If you're tuning in, this is a live broadcast. Just to let you know that this will be going up at a later date as a video for you to find. We're going over the spirit of deception and how the different ways we are deceived. I'm going over some biblical examples of deception and how it gradually leads us into being in bondage by a spirit and completely missing out on everything that God has for us. Stick with me. At the end of this thing, there's going to be some prayer and deliverance. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. So let's go ahead all the way into the beginning when this thing all started. Praise the Lord. In the Garden of Eden. Okay. Many of y'all know this story. We all know this story. Ain't no way you step foot in the church more than once in your life. You ain't never heard this story. The Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, and the serpent, right? In this story, there's only four characters. You know, there's God, there's Satan, the serpent, right? There's Adam, and there's Eve, you know, picturing this beautiful scenery. Everything is like a paradise. It's beautiful waterfalls, and, you know, beautiful rivers and streams and oceans and beaches. Hallelujah. And a whole lot of trees, beautiful trees, wonderful animals. Everything is in perfect harmony. You know, when I picture the Garden of Eden, that's what I picture. That's what I think of. Everything's in perfect harmony. There is no need. There is no suffering. Everything is perfect. All right. And there's this snake. Or should I say this serpent by the name of Satan, the serpent in the garden, you know, is going around with his deception. You see, a little bit of a background of this. You see, this serpent has been kicked out of heaven, kicked out of the kingdom of God for this very thing, the same thing that he's going to go ahead and deceive God's creation into believing something that are completely opposite of what God had said, right? See, he was already kicked out of heaven for not only testing God, opposing God, but trying to be God, trying to overthrow God, trying to dethrone God, right? He was the one who was said to be the most beautiful, the one that it was said that he was over worship. He led worship up in heaven, right? And he began to believe the praises that he was getting, that he was beautiful, that he was great. And he was said that he was like God. And instead, he being like God wasn't good enough for him. He had to be God. So he had to try to overthrow God. And the Bible says that he deceived a third of heaven's angels. They were deceived and they went on with him, it says. And every last one of them was thrown out of heaven and thrown out of the kingdom of God. They were no longer a part of the ways of God. Amen. So now we got that little back story going on here and how we know truly what it means when Jesus said that, and we're talking about the father of lies, the one who's been lying since the beginning. You see, we think that it all started in the Garden of Eden, but it started long before then. Long before then. It started in the heavens. It didn't even start here on earth. It started in the heavens. Hallelujah. So blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we go back into the Garden of Eden, where God created Adam and Eve, and God gave the command to Adam. He told him, you can eat of anything, have anything, and eat of any tree except for this one tree. I'm talking about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Okay? He said, do not touch this tree. Once you touch this tree, you shall surely die, meaning death, as in be cut off from me, the source and sustainer, the Abba, the Father, the one who is power, the one who is life, who is the tree of life himself. We're talking about God, right? So it's when you're trying to fulfill something outside of the will of God or being outside of his will, being completely apart from his presence, death, the source of life, God, that breath where it says when he created Adam, he breathed life. He breathed, he gave him a soul. Hallelujah. He didn't become alive. He didn't become to move. He didn't get that power to exist. He didn't get that existence until that breath of God breathed into him. Right. And the Bible says that he created Adam. He created men and women. They and him both. He created in his image. In the image of God, he created them, man, both male and female, man and woman. Okay, so now we have this story in the Garden of Eden where Satan comes into the garden. The serpent comes into the garden. And you have Eve, you know, sitting there pondering and looking around. And I imagine she's just taking in the scenery, saying how beautiful and how wonderful and marvelous the creation of God is. And then you have the one who is basically cut off from everything that is beautiful and everything that is wonderful that God created. He's cut off. You know, that whole misery loves company. It needs some company. All the angels that he'd deceived wasn't good enough for him. So he needed to go ahead and do like his very nature, to lie, who's been lying since the beginning, to go ahead and deceive. So he went on ahead and deceived Eve, as the Bible tells us, right? He says, look at this tree, right? Looking at the garden. And she goes, well, God told us that we can have any one of these trees except for that one tree right there. That one tree. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He says that if we partake of this tree, that we shall surely die. And then here comes the deceptions. It starts as a question. Okay. Instead of just taking, you know, what God said as absolute, as is, what God says, what thus saith the Lord is, what is written is what's set in stone. It is shall be established. It shall be what it is I do. I say yes and only yes and amen to it, right? Instead of that, instead of being completely subjugated, right? Or under submission to the Lordship, right? With the thus saith the Lord. Got to go ahead and give it a question. This is how how that deception starts. Begins with a question. It doesn't begin with a question because we want to know truth. It does not begin with a question because we want to, hallelujah, have understanding, to be in right standing with God. You see, it's not that kind of a question. It's a question that breeds doubt, disbelief, and a lack of faith, right? Without faith, it is impossible to please God, right? So here comes this serpent. He comes with a question. He says, surely, are you sure that you shall die if you partake of this tree? And of course, he brings it back to the same very thing that his own desire starts to project a little bit. And not only that, he goes back to his own desires projecting a little bit. See, we were already created in the image of God, in his likeness, he created us. We were already in his likeness. So he had to twist it just a little bit and make us be deceived into believing that we weren't already like God. Because for him, it wasn't good enough to be like God. He wanted to be God. So he had to dethrone God and get rid of God. And what does he go after? Because he couldn't succeed in doing this towards God. So he's like, you know, we're going to go with the likeness of God and go ahead and dethrone them in whom God has given the dominion over earth, right? And commanded to be fruitful and multiply, to multiply, right? So he goes and he questions. He says, has God said, right? Let's go ahead and question what the thus saith the Lord is. Will you surely die? And then he goes and answers. He goes, no, you won't surely die. You would only, God says that because he doesn't want you to be like him. You know, if you eat of this fruit, you will be like God. Right? Let's go ahead and look to something. Not only that is not true, but let's go ahead and partake of this thing and live accordingly. That does not do exactly what it is that it claims to be. We were already created in his image and likeness. We were already like God. There was no need for that tree, and there was no need for its fruit. First of all, the tree didn't even say tree of the likeness of God. It says you will be like God, knowing good and evil. The tree doesn't say like God. The tree doesn't say God. The tree said knowledge of good and evil. So Satan himself added that little nonsense to it. If anything, what he's truly saying is that you shall be like I. You shall be like Satan. You shall be like the serpent, knowing good and evil, having nature of evil. The one who thought he was God. He ain't talking about God, the creator. See the little twist there? That's why it's important for us to have some understanding here. And main thing is, when it comes to these types of deceptions, right, where the questions come in, we have to remember where we were positioned spiritually and mentally when we first got the command. In his presence. Where is the presence of God at this point? Where is God? Because that's who we need to hear from. That's who we need to see. We don't need to be seeing no servants. We don't need to be hearing from no servants. We don't need to be hearing from anything but God and the Holy Spirit. All right. So, I mean, there's a whole lot that we can go on with that, even with people who are operating so many different spirits, and a lot of it is counterfeit, and we thinking that it's the Holy Spirit when it is not the Holy Spirit. There's a whole lot of people operating under the spirits of Kundalini and all types of just counterfeits. It ain't the Holy Spirit, and it ain't the Spirit of God. There's a whole lot of false manifestations being looked at and accepted, even in the church, as the Spirit of the living God. Now, I can go on forever. There's a whole lot of series that can be created just from this one subject, but we're not going to go too much into that. We want to stick to the points here and get to the prayers of deliverance. Hallelujah. And if the Lord does give me license, we'll go a little bit more deeper into the spirit of deception and the many different ways people are deceived, especially when we're talking about those who were operating under a different spirit. And hallelujah. Yeah, we're going to go a little bit. Got the license. We'll go in a little bit, tad bit about it. About that. So stay tuned. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. All right. So we're going to talk about a little bit about Saul, right? And with Saul, it gives the perfect illustration of how it gradually builds into a spirit of deception, to it being a spirit of torment and being completely cut off from God. Amen. With the story of Saul, King Saul, rather, he starts as just some regular average guy whom God chose to be king of Israel. The Israelites, you know, they requested a king, and God himself was like, nah, this is not something that you guys need. I shall be your Lord and Savior, right? They wanted to be like everybody else. Come on. Another way that spirit gets in. Want to be like everybody else, right? God is not enough. Come on, somebody. So God was like, nah, you will be led astray, led into idolatry, all types of different things. And he was right. Eventually, all these different things took place, right? So God sends the prophet Samuel to go and anoint Saul as king over Israel. So he starts off as chosen by God, anointed by God, and appointed by God onto the throne, right? The one who shall lead, shepherd, hallelujah, the people of God, Rabako Yabashande, hallelujah. And as he got his assignments, you see, God gave him some commands that he must follow, having to do with not only how to serve God, right? Many different things that he didn't obey. Like he was supposed to go and kill off the Amalekites and kill off all the different things that their livestock, their people, and he wasn't supposed to leave anything or take anything. Not only he disobeyed that, there was a time where he was supposed to wait to give the offering and worship, praise of God, right? He's supposed to wait for the priest. He's not a priest. He wasn't ordained a priest. He was ordained a leader, but not that kind of leader. Amen. You know, so we're supposed to wait for the priest and wait for the prophet of God. He didn't wait. There's many different ways you can go and tell this story. And there's a whole lot of good, powerful lessons in this part of the story. So he didn't wait. He goes and he decides that he's going to go ahead and lead the people into worship. The thing about worship, the thing about the move of God, you cannot have a move of God and you cannot worship God just any kind of way. It starts out as obedience, right? In spirit and in truth. How can you do it, right, and have a move of God and be in spirit and in truth and we are in rebellion or we are in disobedience, right? It has to be in right standing with God. It has to be truth. It has to be righteous. Praise the Lord. So, you know, as he continued his disobedience and doing things his way, you know, the throne and the mantle was taken away from him, right? And given to David. And as this story progressed in King Saul's life, right, we find him falling away further and further away from the favor of God, right? And not only that, the fact of the matter that he was making all these bad decisions, his heart became more and more hardened and more darkened, and he was just unrepentant as a person, as a created one by the Most High God, someone who just didn't really have a true intimate relationship with the Lord. Okay, so we have this different situations where King David, the one who ends up replacing him and was anointed, right? God anointed him, but yet he was not yet appointed just yet. You know, but he was anointed. There were times where King Saul would have to, because of his disobedience, because of his rebellion, it was obviously deceived because he was doing things the way he wanted to instead of the way God wanted to, right? He was one who did not follow instructions, basic instructions. Deception starts out as disobedience, doing things our own way, doing things not according to God's way, according to, you know, you don't play well with others. You know, you just want to run the show. You want to do things your way, right? That's how deception a way it starts out. And gradually, you know, as a disobedience, rebellion, and then eventually that spirit comes in. Just like in Saul's case, you know, that spirit came in. That dude had a whole lot of issues. But that spirit did come in, King Saul, and there's a situation, and so we know that he had an evil spirit, because the Bible talks about him having an evil spirit, and that he would become tormented, right? He goes from having, being deceived, being disobedient, being rebellious, to being, to having this spirit, to being tormented by this spirit, right? To the point where he needed to be ministered to by David, the anointed one, the one whom God anointed, right? Through prophetic worship. Hallelujah. And even then, obviously at this point in time, he should recognize that there is a problem and there's a need for change. You know, he did see a need for change and he did see that there was a problem. But only problem is this, is that he would only see that the problem is what he was losing. You know, not what it is that he could gain if he actually just simply repented. But it was about what he was losing. So that was the only time you see some type of remorse with King Saul. So eventually he ended up completely cut off to where God was not hearing him. God was just like, no, I will not hear him. There was a time where he tried to inquire of the Lord. That was after the passing of the prophet Samuel. He needed to inquire of the Lord. He had some battles coming up, all kinds of problems where he needed direction. He couldn't get in direction. He was completely lost at this point. He was lost and recognized that he was lost. But at this point in time, it was too late. He didn't did too much and he was completely cut off. And God was not hearing him. See, God does not listen to rebellion and disobedience. See, then Saul was found in the story, right? Because he couldn't receive from the Lord. God was not hearing him. And the prophet Samuel was no longer around to at least be able to inquire of the Lord on his behalf. So Saul went to a soothsayer. Saul went to a necromancer. Saul went to something that was not led by God, right? Not led by the Spirit of God. He went outside the will of God and outside the Spirit of God, because he was already outside of there. He didn't know no other way to go ahead and have them raise up the prophet Samuel from the dead in this story. And even the prophet Samuel was like, what the heck is wrong? Man, I can't even after death, you still, like, the dude is really that jacked up. Lord have mercy. He was that messed up. So, you know, like I said, with this story, we can see how it gradually starts off as, you know, you don't start off as deceived. Like I said before, nobody wakes up one morning and just say, you know what, I want to be deceived. And I want to be, no, it starts off by different decisions, you know, where God is trying to get us to do something. God is trying to move us this way. God is calling us to something specific, right? And we are wanting to do things our way. Or we are doing things that are not biblical, right? We're going to get into that as well. Amen. You know, the Bible talks about where Jesus warned us that there will be, after him, there will be another Jesus, right? And there will be another gospel. You know, there's a whole lot of other Jesuses that it is that we follow, and a whole lot of other gospels out there being preached. That also opens us up to the spirit of deception without us even knowing it. You know, we like the person, we like the minister, because the minister has a specific style and the way they preach. We like the way they preach. We like the way they dress. We like the way they look. We like the way they sound, whatever it may be, right? We like the style, right? Yeah, we like their style. And yeah, I don't know what happened there, but that's all right. Let's keep on going. We like their style. And a lot of times, you know, this is what I like to say. I like to say, build your own personal relationship with Jesus. No matter where it is you go, it doesn't matter who's the speaker. You're going to go see Jesus and you're going to go hear from Jesus. The minute you stop hearing from Jesus, because there's two things. First of all, we should be in our word. We should know the scriptures. Second of all, we should be able to have discernment, the spirit of discernment. We should be able to have a relationship with God to the point where we have the Holy Spirit and we can see when something is off. First of all, it does not line up with the scriptures. Second of all, there's something off in the spirit. The minute we start to recognize those things, we have to check out. We can no longer agree with said preacher or said minister. So that way we are protected and we are not given into a spirit of deception. Amen. So let's keep going on here. Talk about a little bit how the spirit enters. You know, we've talked a little bit about how it entered with Saul, how it enters. Nobody is pretty much born with the spirit of deception. Nobody just starts out with the spirit of deception. It usually happens gradually through either your beliefs, through your agreements, things that comes out of our mouth, right? And happens through disobedience and rebellion, right? And the Bible talks about there's a way that seems right to a man, and in the end, it leads to death. So any way that we walk or any way that we think or we believe or we act upon, right, that is opposed to what is thus said the Lord, or opposed to the ways of God, or opposed to the thoughts of God, that is clearly deception. So we start there to be protected, hallelujah, to stay grounded and rooted. You know, lining up with the ways and the thoughts of God. Amen. All right. And it basically enters in when not saying, well, we can go there. Every time we meet a need outside of Jesus Christ and outside of the will of God, right? There's this new thing going on today where a lot of Christians are falling away, and a lot of people are getting into this new age type stuff. You know, we're finding a lot of the stuff being mixed in, even a lot of church services, unfortunately. And that one hit a sore spot with somebody. Clearly, there's a whole lot of deception there. Clearly, we need to get back not only to the scriptures, but we need to get back to that fire of God. We need to get back to the Holy Ghost and fire. We need to let the Holy Spirit have his way. Now we need to sit down, right? We must become less so that he can become more. Amen. If you truly want a real move of God, you want to walk in the real power of God. Hallelujah. Don't skip or cut corners on your sanctification. Don't skip or cut corners on a purification of God, right? Hallelujah. And another way is through different doctrines. Doctrine, like I said, things that just are not in the Bible, things that didn't come out of Jesus' mouth. The things that came out of Jesus' mouth does not need interpretation. It speaks for itself. Just like the Bible itself, there's not a lot of people trying to interpret. No, it speaks for itself. If you truly read it and truly study it, it speaks for itself. We can't not make it apply to something that it does not apply to. All these different things, right, that we try to do with the scriptures. There's the doctrines of demons, and then there's extra biblical beliefs. You know, like, for instance, I'm going to use Chosen as an example. I'm not saying this is what people are doing, but I'm using it as an example, right? And this is hypothetical. I'm not saying this is hypothetical, just so you know. right? We'll look at the show that a lot of people watch. It's called Chosen, where it's obvious extra biblical stuff there. Things that are not in the Bible, right? Well, people begin to watch that, and the next thing you know, they start preaching from that. Next thing you know, their beliefs are surrounded in this show. And there's nothing biblical at all about this show, about a lot of this, the episodes in the show. It's just extra biblical type stuff. Show me the Bible, you know, where a lot of these things. Now, once people pick up the Bible and they start to read the Bible, they start to picture the show Chosen. The characters look like those characters do. They sound like those characters do. And the whole scene scenario in that show pops up as they read the Bible. That is deception. That is extra biblical. We do not filter everything through something that is outside the Bible. We filter everything through the Bible. Amen. Hallelujah. So you know what? I'm going to go ahead and end it on that note, and we're going to get into some prayer and some deliverance. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And most likely I'll end up doing like a part two or something on this thing coming up soon, because there's a whole lot. I mean, we can go on, like I said, we can go on forever touching bits on a whole lot of different things, but this is where I just felt led. Hallelujah. And this is what the Lord has given me, these different points and these different ways of talking about the spirit of deception. And the thing about the spirit of deception is that we don't know that we're deceived. We think that we're right. And it ends up costing us dearly, costing us a lot, costing us relationships, costing us finances. You know, it costs us dearly. Because, and the thing is, what we're going to go on next is how humility can also protect you from the spirit of deception. Amen. So let's get on with the prayer and the deliverance. Hallelujah. I'm going to go over a couple scriptures. So that way we set the tone, we set the mindset, we set the heart, and we set the spirit. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 says, "But we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of God." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Keep focused there. Keeps focused there. Because one thing about the spirit of deception does, it keeps us with a veiled face, right? That our whole face is veiled, our whole face is covered. It keeps us from seeing not only the truth, it keeps us from seeing God and experiencing the fullness of God and seeing the glory of God, right? In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 says, "Whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." You see, that thing about deception. Deception blinds us, right? To where we do not believe. We're walking around in disbelief, believing something that is not only what God said it to be true. Hallelujah. We're not living the fruit of what God said to be true. Hallelujah. We're not seeing the light of the glory of the gospel of Christ Jesus, right? And we are not, hallelujah, seeing the image of God shine on us and shine on the matters of what it is we are thinking about, or what it is that we know, or what it is that we feel or think or believe, right? But we need to get back to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. This is the goal to have an unveiled face, right? That our face is no longer covered, that there is no longer a separation, right? Or a divide between us and the glory of God. There is no longer a blockage, a hindrance, hallelujah, from us seeing God, seeing the face of God. Hallelujah. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Hallelujah. And being transformed, we're being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of God, right? By the Spirit of God, we are being transformed from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. So, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, God, Holy Spirit, we invite you into the room. We invite you into this session. Hallelujah, Lord God. We invite you. Hallelujah. We invite you. We invite you. We invite you. Have your way in this place. Have your way in this recording. Have your way in this prayer. Lord, we submit and we yield to you. We submit and we yield to your ministry, God, in Jesus' name. For those who are here at the sound of my voice in need of deliverance, to be set free from the spirit of deception. First and foremost, we're going to take whatever that deception is. We haven't gone over too much in different ways of being deceived, but I do know that it's very important to make sure we go into the prayer and that I show you how to break off the spirit of deception. First of all, whatever that thing is that is not lined up, not only with the will of God, the ways of God, and the thoughts of God, the mind of God, and the heart of God, that thing that does not line up with the scriptures of God, that is deception. Hallelujah. First of all, we take those things, we lay it before God, and we say, I break agreement with this deception. I break agreement. Repeat after me. Say, I break agreement with the spirit of deception. I break agreement with deception. I break agreement with the lies and the beliefs that are not biblical. I break agreement with all the different doctrines, the doctrines of demons. I break agreement with the extra biblical beliefs. I break agreement with everything that opposes the truth and the ways of God and the thoughts of God and the heart of God. I revoke the license of the spirit of deception. I break agreement with the spirit of deception. In the mighty name of Jesus, I cancel your license. I cancel your place. You are evoked. I evict you out in the name of Jesus. And right now, I invite in its replacement, Lord Jesus Christ, to be the Lord of my life, the true Lord, the one who leads me, directs me, and guides me, and the one that I shall and will obey in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So if you prayed that prayer, go ahead and I'm going to pray over you. Hallelujah. And as I pray over you, you know, you might get a little cough. Let it come out. Just cough it out. Burp it out. Cry it out. Fart it out. Breathe it out. Exhale it out. Whatever way it decides to manifest, let it come out in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. At this point, it should be very simple because we already broke agreement. We already broke fellowship with the spirit of deception. We revoked its place. We took away its license and we gave the authority back to whom the authority belonged to begin with, and that is Jesus Christ. Right now, I plead the blood of Jesus upon this dear listener. My brother, my sister, I plead the blood of Jesus Christ upon you. And I decree and declare now that you are now under the blood of Jesus. Your sins are forgiven. You're under the blood of Jesus Christ. And right now, decree and declare, Satan, you have no authority over this child of God. Satan, you have no place in the life of this believer. And I command you to manifest yourself right now in Jesus' name. I command you to flee. This believer in Jesus, I bind you up and I cast you out. The spirit of deception, you no longer have a place here. I bind you up and cast you out. Get out now in Jesus' name. Leave this person. Leave this believer in Jesus' name. Release now. Loosen your grip. Loosen your hold on this believer in Jesus' name. Detach yourself from this soul. Detach yourself from this mind. Detach yourself from the way of thinking. Detach yourself from the emotions in Jesus' name. Detach yourself from the spirit in Jesus' name. Detach yourself from this body in the mighty name of Jesus. You are now evicted in Jesus' name. Leave in Jesus' name. Go out into the wilderness. Go out into the dry places now in Jesus' name. I declare now an open heaven over the believer, over this child of God. And I decree and declare now that you are restored, healed, delivered, set free, and accepted as a blood-bought child of God, no longer, hallelujah, bound by the spirit of deception. I declare and declare now, every link, hallelujah, to bondage, to the spirit of deception, to the demonic kingdom is now severed in Jesus' name. Rabaka reba shanda rabasata rabosa. Shabaka rabako reba shanda rabasakaya. Sheke rebeko rabasha bako roboso rabaka yarabo shanda rabasa. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it is just that simple, folks. It is just that simple. Hallelujah. This is nothing to play around with. If you prayed that prayer and you've gone through this deliverance session, I want to go ahead and encourage you to get involved at a local church. Go and find a church to go ahead and get involved with. Go and learn, be trained up. Hallelujah. If you don't know any place, you need some help finding places, you need some help. Hallelujah. More prayer, more guidance, more direction. You have questions, go ahead and hit me up on the text line, the text prayer line at area code 702-723. You know what? I think I might forgot that text line. Let me go ahead and get that up for you. Amen. Let me get that up for you. Bear with me a little bit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, yes, yes. There we go. So that's area code 702-723-7228. Go ahead and hit me up on the text line there. And we will do our best to help out in whatever way we can. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And make sure you're getting that word, getting the word of God. There's, like I said, once again, if you need some help on what it is you need to study, all those type of different things, go ahead and reach out. We'll try to help the best way we can, and we'll post more videos and more things to help teach and educate and equip and build up and empower and impart. Yeah, praise the Lord. You know, usually when it comes to these things, like you go until there's a release, you know, not all the time things are very easy. This right here, was very easy. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. It wasn't one of those things where I had to go on and on and on and on and on and on. You know, we just did it. And that was it. And, you know, I pray for your success. I bless you. And continue on. Continue the good fight of faith. Continue with God. Continue to grow. Continue to be vulnerable and open and allowing God to bring that correction, to bring everything into correction and make things according to his splitting image, right? Going back to as in a mirror, beholding it as in a mirror, right? The glory of God. Amen. Continue that process in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you so much for going through not only this teaching, but this deliverance. I pray and I hope that it's been a blessing to you. Once again, if you need any help, need more prayer, got any questions, go ahead and hit us up on that text line. God bless you. You guys have a wonderful day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.